Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Minds, and we dwell on them. Sometimes we don't dwell on them. That's the best thing to do, but I'm going to continue on from the 12th when I spoke about that, and I actually had the Garden of Life and had a picture of a guy up there with a wheat field coming out of his head, and I had one guy tell me cornrows, and then Brother Wendell said it looked like a chia pet. I forgot all about them. How many of y'all old enough to remember what a chia pet is? Praise God. You stick that little thing in there and it grew weeds out of this rock or something. I don't know. But anyway, why the picture of a chessboard? Yeah. When I was in the shipyard before I was saved, we used to have our lunch, and there was a group of guys that would play chess. And they would play that same, and they would stay in that game for 3 or 4 days before they had a winner. Well, I was a spades man. I mean, we had a card, my bench in front of the press break, 4x8 sheet of quarter plate on four legs, and we played spades, which is card game, and that's what we did. But chess involves you having to think about your next move, about the decisions you're going to make, and about how we always have an enemy. 1 Peter 5:8, he goes about like a, he isn't, but he goes about like a raging, roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may. He goes around like one. It doesn't mean that he is a lion. You know, when I picture a lion, worst paint pictures, I think of the National Geographic and the lion eating that zebra while he's still alive. And that's pretty horrible, but that guy ain't that. He goes around like that. He's a big mouth. He's a bully. He's a punk. Amen. That's what the devil is. So when I think about those days and I think about those times and I think about what you guys, ladies and gentlemen, are doing in here tonight and the ones online, I'm thinking about who do you influence in life? Who do you influence? Well, you came in here to be an influence, not to be influenced. Does that make sense? You came in here to help somebody, to be an aid, to be a brother, to be a lover, lifter, and blesser. And I had to change my whole vocabulary. And the reason why I got Stephen to put a chessboard on that picture was because it is a life full of decisions and choices that we must make that determine where we will be at in life. And these decisions that we make, these moves that we make, if we do them by God's word, we're blessed and we have promises in God's word that will take us to where we need to be. That we'll be the ones going checkmate to the devil. He's going to go check. He's always been checking. And he ain't done nothing. He's nothing. So I had to change my vocabulary, and I'm going to ask him to put several scriptures up there. I'm going to start with Psalm 101, verses 3 and 4. And I want you to listen to this. This is what we have to do. These are the first things that we have to change is what we put into us. And Psalms is a great book. My goodness. And he said, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Verse 4. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Man, that's a pretty strong... We just did a faith confession with the tithing. Think about Psalm 101, verses 3 and 4, saying that every day. Right. Think about a perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Well, let's go to Psalm 34:14. This is one of my favorite ones. It's depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Wow, man, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Make the right moves in your life. Make them for God. Resist wickedness. Yeah. Depart from evil and do good. And then James 1:21, one of my favorite, that's New Testament. Therefore, now let me get this set. In verse 19, I believe, you guys can correct me later on, but he said, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And then he goes on, and I go, okay, so then what do I do? That's how I read the Bible. Well, the next verse, God tells us what to do. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. That's the life of God. Put it away. Are those things hard to put away? I can stand here as a 100% human man and tell you, yeah, they're hard to put away, but you can do it. I did it. You can do it. Other people did it before me. There's people in this room that's done it tonight. That's put that stuff away. But that doesn't mean that we don't have an enemy that's constantly bombarding us, and we're going to cover that in just a minute. Unlike a board game, our decisions will ultimately result in both life and death, either spiritual or physical. The decisions we make, the moves we make, where we go, what we do, who we hang out with, what we watch on TV, all those things. And to be in the local church, you're an influencer. You are an influencer. Everywhere you go, Pastor Chris, it's Marketplace Ministry. He's been preaching that since I've known him. What do? When you're not here? Who do you at the job site, at the ball field, anywhere? Who are you living for?
Right.
Okay? Influence is the capacity to have an effect on the character, the development, or behavior of someone or something. So you and I are here for just such a time as this. That's one of Pastor Debbie's, she says that all the time from Esther.
Right.
For just such a time as this are we here. We're here to make a dynamic impact in the region that we live in right here and now. Those of y'all watching online, you're here to make a dynamic impact where you live, what you do, who you work with. Start number one with God, number two, your family, and number three, your local church. And if you can get in church, you should be in church. Period.
Yep.
Period. One of my favorite churchy scriptures is 1 Timothy. Gee whiz, I plan on going here. But 1 Timothy 3:15-16, and Paul writes to Timothy, and he writes, but if I'm delayed, I write so that you ought to know how you should conduct yourself in the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. For without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For he was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the local church and the gospel in two verses. That's the whole verse 16. It's without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. Who's it great to and who's it a mystery to? Those people on the outside that were supposed to be influencing for the kingdom of God. Okay? So, praise the Lord. Remember, the devil's biggest playground is what's between your ears.
Right.
Yep.
Amen.
And we have a fight of faith every day, and the battleground is in our minds. So I'm asking, what seeds and what moves are you making and planting in your brain, in your thought life? The greatest victory in our life is realizing these attacks, and the victory comes through renewing your mind. It's called brainwashing. My goodness, I'd rather, since God, I did 38 years on my own, and I was a loser. I mean, let's face it, broke, busted, disgusted, didn't have two nickels to rub together to get a dime. Everything I own was broke. Man, you're working two jobs, got a little truck farm, doing everything you can, and praise God, you don't even know you got a wife and three kids that love you because you don't even see them.
Amen.
Come on, I did it my way. I ain't doing it my way no more. I'm living for God. I really don't care what other people say.
Praise
I don't. They thought I was weird before. You think they don't think I'm weird now? Hey, praise God. Y'all, yeah, give... Praise God. God is good. So, I say all that because, man, I want to get to the set of scriptures that's going to just show how a tormented mind, I was going to call tonight a mind-altering drug, but I said, nah, I just better call it mind games because somebody will be out there trying to buy something. But anyway, nobody in here. But anyway, I think, a mind-altering drug. Well, that's what God's Word is. You get drunk in the Holy Ghost, drunk on the Word of God. Get filled up with it. Love it. Love it. Fall in love with Him. He died for me. He died for you. My goodness, He's the greatest influence in my life. You know, it ain't me, myself, and I. No. No, it's not my wife. It's not my pastor. It's Jesus Christ. But by getting Him, you get the other two. Praise God. Okay. So, I'm going to ask them to put up John 14, 1 and 27. And the reason why I do this is, while I'm going to get into this for a minute, and then this is in the Passion Translation, from the Passion Translation. But Jesus, we have to understand this. I don't know, but John 14, 15, and 16, three chapters. I've heard it taught anywhere from an hour to half a day Jesus took to do that, those three chapters. And the very next night, do we know, realize in reality, in the nasty now and now, that Jesus Christ was arrested, that He was beaten, and that He was crucified. And this verse, this is the very first thing that comes out of His mouth, and He's teaching His disciples. And so what's He going to tell them? What's the first two words? Don't worry! Yeah. Or surrender to fear. What's 2 Timothy 1:7 say? For God did not give me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Wow, come on, let's get on board with it. Let's get excited about Jesus Christ and what He said for us to do. He said, don't worry or surrender to your fear, for you've believed in God, you trust and believe in Me also. 27, very famous, there's not a, I've done a couple going home services, funeral, memorial, whatever you want to call them, and this is one of the scriptures that you use a lot. Well, so I've read it a couple times, but from the Passion, I want you to leave. Here He is, the same chapter. He's talking about peace, the true peace of God. You know, what's Judges 6:24 tell us? I think it's the fourth redemptive name of God in the Old Testament. I am the Lord God, your peace. This is it. I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace, not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but My perfect peace. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. Pastor Jerry Jutras taught last week about the heart, the spirit. How many, what did he talk? He's talking about my spirit man. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't be in fear. Don't be afraid. Man, hold your head high. I'm going to talk about, you know, I've already told you what I think of Satan. I mean, and what he is. He's a punk. Come on. He's a bully. What's the first thing that happens to a bully when he gets punched in the mouth? Exactly. So I don't want to have to go. So I'm asking him to put up Philippians 4:6. Here we are, the new living. Here's Paul teaching the same thing. And we could go back and I could quote it. I pray this in the morning, 4 through 9, but I'm just going to use verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Here's Paul, wrote half the New Testament. He was beating and murdering people before he became born again and saved and started living like Jesus was his Lord and Savior. He said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Thank Him. Pray to Him. My goodness, these scriptures excite me. It's all about God. It's all about God. It's not about me. I think of, these are just ones you can write down, but one of my favorites, 1 John 4:7. He said, as He is, so are we in the world. He's talking about Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul writes, imitate Me as I imitate Christ. John 5:48, which is Jesus. Jesus said, therefore you shall be perfect just as I am perfect. He said, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Let me tell you something. You say, Peter says the same thing in 1 Peter 1:15-16, I believe. He uses the word holy, another translation does. Be holy, for I am holy. Well, let me tell you something. If you couldn't do it, Jesus would have never said to do it. Amen. He would have never said you can do this. So, I'm just going to say this to somebody out there, TV land, I'll just say, because we don't want nobody leaving. But You need just to tell the enemy to shut up.
Right.
Just to shut up. I can do this. I don't need your help. I got Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's the moves that we're making. No one has ever taught you from the pulpit of this church that you wouldn't have opposition come up in your life.
Right.
No one's ever said that from this pulpit.
Right.
I mean, I've heard everything, naming it. Here it comes. It comes around in cycles. Name it and claim it. Blab it and grab it and all this other stuff. And I talked to some folks yesterday about that. And I hear it, I go, shut up. You don't even know what you're talking about. You ain't even been in the church. And you're going to tell me what's going on there.
Right.
You know, you're going to tell me what's preached from the pulpit. Well, everything's a rose. No, it isn't. No one said that. What you get here is the truth of God's word. And in John 16:33, I reference this. I don't believe I gave that to the guys, but these things I have spoken to you. This is Jesus, the last verse of Scripture in chapter 16. This is before he prays to his Father in John 17. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. You know what tribulation is? A crushing pressure, anguish, both physically and mentally. He told them, you're going to have this. Remember the Greek, they paint pictures. My goodness, with them words. Tremendous pictures. Remember, we talked about it 2 weeks ago in Mark 4:37-39. They were in a storm when Jesus said, let us go to the other side. And they went over there and he heard the madman. I believe he heard that guy who needed to be delivered in the graveyard over there running around. And they got to the beach and here he comes. But in the middle of that Sea of Galilee, they had a storm, a great storm. My goodness, what was Jesus doing?
Sleeping.
What were them other 12, Manny Moe and Larry and Hee-Haw and Dee-Haw Dean doing? I mean, I'm just telling you. They were scared. They thought they were going to perish. They were in complete obedience with the Word of God. Were they not? They had Jesus in the boat. And he's sleeping. And they're scared. They had the man there. I mean, they had God. And they were scared. And he got up and rebuked him and said, peace be still, and the storm be still. And then he went and took care of what his father's business. My whole point is, if you're in here tonight, and you're in the middle of a storm in your life, you just may be on God's side and in obedience to him. You got it? It got quiet in here. Things come up against all of us. My goodness, man. I mean, you know, I'm married, believe it or not. Been married for 46 years. To the same gal, and I can tell you right now, it ain't been no walk through the rose garden for her. I'm just telling you the truth. But storms come up in life, and the storms you get through are the ones you have peace in. I'm not talking about the peace they're pushing in Washington. I'm talking about the peace of God. Okay? So, praise God. Wow.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, I have to realize, you have to realize this revelation that I can do what God said I can do. But I can't do it if I don't put it in me. I have to put the Word of God in me. This happens by me changing my mindset, my thoughts, my attitude. You know, I'm going to give you all something to read. I'm not even going to go there because it would take a while, because I'll get hung up in there. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, you read about the strongholds and how we cast them down. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in an all-out war against an enemy. God's word and God's knowledge says I'm healed, my flesh, my mind, and if I allow my mind and my flesh to tell me what I'm going to do, I'm not healed, and I'm not going to live a prosperous life, and I never will if I continue to listen to my flesh. There's three things that I used to preach a lot about when I ministered in another church, but there's three things God gave me. I preached them at other churches. We would go down there and preach, but number one is, and it just won't surprise anybody, but God's the one who's in the people changing business. Number two is, God's not a people pleaser unless we line up at his word. I'm just telling you. Number three, and this is what I want to talk about tonight, I cannot as a Christian allow my feelings, opinions, emotions to dictate my responses or actions to the circumstances that surround me in my daily walk. I cannot do that. Why? Because I, as a Christian, have self-control. I make the choice, the move, which word I will listen to, the truth of God's word or the lies of the devil. Period. I have to do that. You have to do that. My wife can't do it for me. Pastor Chris can't do it for me. He can tell me. He can show me. Pamela Jo can tell me. She can show me. She can live it out before me, which she does 24 hours a day. But it don't do no good if I don't do it. If I don't get up and do it, it ain't no good. And I know that's proper grammar. There's some English people out there. But, you know, we have to stop glorifying what the devil's doing and start just telling him how big our God is.
Amen.
I mean, mankind's painted a picture of Satan in the Garden of Eden. Every picture I've ever seen, he's a great big snake. One an anaconda or a boa constrictor or something, he's going to crush and eat you. Well, I tell you who he is. Y'all, any of y'all know what a worm snake is? He don't amount to a worm snake.
Amen.
I mean, that's who he is. He's a little pipsqueak. And that's when I say when he's a punk and a coward. He's a bully with a big mouth. He's the little guy behind the Wizard of Oz commercial, the old one, the one we watched when I was, you know, whatever. I never watched the whole thing because I couldn't. It didn't make sense to me. But anyway, it didn't. Yellow Brick Road. I'm just telling you. I just wasn't into that. I wanted to watch The Rifleman or something. But anyway, praise God. But when they ripped the curtain back on him at the end, I do remember this is a little bitty guy in there running the controls with a big speaker. That's the devil. He's a big mouth bully. Stop listening to him. Stop allowing him to build forts in your head and holding you prisoner. My goodness. I'm going to go ahead and, again, what seeds are we planting in our life garden? I'm going to go to a set of scriptures in Mark. Again, just a great lesson, one miracle after another in the middle chapters of the Gospel of Mark. But when a person who is oppressed is what I'm talking about tonight, they feel something pressing on them from the outside. This is not depression. Depression's an inner, when you read about it, it comes from the inside. But it's the result of being oppressed and pushed down all the time, physically and mentally, all the time subjected to something. You know, what's the one of the definitions of the devil? I don't even want to try Diabolos or something. But it's a constant jab. It's a constant jab. When we were kids, we liked to box my old man and them. You know, I mean, hey, the best thing you can do is have a quick jab. That was Muhammad Ali. I think he was in his prime, man, constantly jabbing, jabbing, jabbing. Same place, same place, same place, until you break through and there's penetration. That's what the devil does. He constantly comes at us, and that's what the oppression is. Well, that will get on the inside of you, and then you will be depressed. My goodness. So a major cause of this can be attributed to not having the proper boundaries established in our lives. We have to have, I've been talking about that the whole time, boundaries, accountability and boundaries in our own personal Christian walks. What do you do in the morning when you get up? Well, when I was getting on the bus and going to the shipyard, I got up, Pamela Jo had my breakfast fixed, and we prayed, and I went and got on the bus. But at lunchtime or before the shift, we were there an hour early, I'd read. And then at lunchtime, behind the press break, this is after I became a Christian, I would read the Bible.
Amen.
And I would read them little books on the way home. But what am I doing with my time? What am I doing with it? I'm in a position now, since I left the shipyard in 2004, that I still get up at 4:30, and I still read for an hour, hour and a half every morning. I mean, and do I want to get up? No. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want to get up. But 2 minutes after my lazy hind parts gets out of that bed, I'm ready to go. You can ask her. She says, get out of here. Leave me alone. And I do. I got a little room. I go do my thing in with Jesus. I just spend time with God.
Amen.
Get my cup of coffee. And I'm not going to hell because I drank coffee. Praise God. I've heard other people tell me, oh, you shouldn't drink coffee. You're saying. No.
No.
Gee whiz. I don't. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there for somebody. Praise God. You're not going to go because you drink coffee. But okay. The oppression means literally to burden with cruel, unjust, unreasonable restraints, to affect, crush, put down, smother, subdue, and torment. It is abuse, and it will brutally torment the person's mind until there is a complete surrender of that person's spirit, and therefore the thoughts of failure and insecurity so overwhelm that individual that they have believed the lie of the devil that there is no hope, and they take their own life. That is the ultimate end. And the devil has got another piece of fertilizer to trot his stinking little toes over. But we don't have to do that. We have victory through Christ Jesus. We sung about that tonight. In the name of Jesus. You know, in John 14:12, in 14:12, 13 and 14, Jesus says, "Surely, surely, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father in heaven. And if you ask anything in my name, he will do it. If you ask anything in my name, he will do it." He says it twice.
Right.
Anything. You know what anything means? Anything. In his will.
Right.
In his will. I'm not asking if I go out here and rob somebody of $1 million and become a millionaire. That's stupid. I'm not being stupid. I'm being godly. I'm just saying what Jesus said, and that's what I believe. I ask him a lot of things. All right. So, just picture in your mind a wicked tyrant who rules by bullying and dictatorship. I mean, I'm going to say, has anyone in here felt like snapping before besides me? I mean, it's okay. I mean, hey, this is like interactive. Hey, man, yeah, you get mad and you want to snap. But you have self-control if you're born again. All right, we're going to get to the meat. I got a couple minutes. Wow. I'm going to do this as fast because this is, I want to give biblical reference to what I'm talking about. Y'all hanging in there?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Mark 5. I think I told you 21 maybe, 22 something. Yeah, look at that guy. He remembers. Okay, this is from the Passion. This is very familiar. This is just after Jesus has crossed back over the lake. He healed the man, sent him back to Decapolis, told him, man, hey, you got 10 cities to go witness. Tell them what good things I've done for you. The man said, hey, I want to go with you. Jesus said, no. That guy had more going on for him than most church people do now. The master, the pastor, the teacher told him no, and he didn't get offended and go cry somewhere and quit, go to another church. Anyway, so then Jairus comes running up there. The rich, he run the synagogue. He come down and fell down at Jesus' feet. His daughter's sick at home dying. Jesus says, yeah, I'll go with you. Well, then, this is very familiar portion of Scripture here. I pray you get something different from it. You see what a tormented mind can do when it puts faith in Jesus Christ and you're willing to make the move to go for him. Okay, after Jesus returned from across the lake, a huge crowd of people quickly gathered around him on the shoreline. Just then a man saw that it was Jesus, so he pushed through the crowd and threw himself down at his feet. His name was Jairus, a Jewish official who was in charge of the synagogue. He pleaded with Jesus, saying, over and over, come, please come with me. My little daughter is at the point of death, and she's only 12 years old. Come and lay your hands on her and heal her, and she will live. Praise God for that guy. Immediately, Jesus went with him, and a huge crowd followed him, pressing in on him from all sides. Now, in the crowd that day, there was a woman who had suffered horribly from continual bleeding for 12 years. I'm going to stop right there before I read 25. I just want you to know, 12 years. Jesus was in the ministry he was 33 years old, give or take a couple months, you know. So he hadn't been in the ministry very long, 2.5 years maybe,
right,
when this happened. This woman had been sick for 9 years in a place, and you can go to Leviticus and read about the restrictions. It's Leviticus 15, 19 through 27 and Leviticus 25 that will tell you what this woman was subjected to. Okay? So, next one, please. I just wanted to get that in there. She had endured a great deal under the care of various doctors, yet in spite of spending all she had on their treatment, she was not getting better, but worse. Woo! When she heard about Jesus' healing power, she pushed through the crowd and came up from behind him and touched his prayer shawl. For she kept saying to herself, "If only I can touch his cloth, I know I will be healed." As soon as her hand touched him, her bleeding immediately stopped. She knew it, for she could feel her body instantly being healed of her disease. When Jesus knew at once that someone had touched him, for he felt the power that always surged around him and passed through him for someone to be healed. He turned and spoke to the crowd, saying, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples answered, "What do you mean, who touched you? Look at the huge crowd. They're all pressing up against you." But Jesus' eyes swept across the crowd, looking for the one who had touched him for healing. When the woman who experienced this miracle realized what had happened to her, she came before him, trembling with fear, and threw herself down at his feet, saying, "I was the one who touched you." And she told him her story of what had just happened. Check this out. Then Jesus said to her, "Daughter, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. Go with peace in your heart and be free from suffering." What move did she make? She had the whole community against her. And I'm just... Words paint pictures for me. I like the pop-up books. I did. I like them. When my kids were little, they had the pop-up books. My grandkids, they were a lot smarter than me because they got by the pop-up books before I did. And they just flew. But I just like them. Pictures pop up. When I read the scripture, when I read the text, I can see the people pushing against Jesus. He had a safety and security team. They didn't do a very good job. I mean, they didn't even know. What are you talking about? They're all bunched up against you. But so I'm going to read some notes from this passion. And it's talking about Verse 27, he's talking about the cloak or the outer garment. As a Jewish man, Jesus would have had over his shoulder a prayer shawl. The blue tassel on the corner of the prayer shawl was said to symbolize all commandments and promises of God. Numbers 15. The Hebrew word for fringe or border of a garment can also mean wing. Some have interpreted Malachi 4:2, healing in his wings, as a reference to the tassel on the prayer shawl. Let me tell you something I learned at Duke, but every one of them little tassels had knots on them. And it was 635, how many laws, Jewish laws they had. Not the Ten Commandments. They went over and above. They couldn't join the army. But every one of them, and that's how they, every time they were always reading. Okay? The Greek word is sozo. My goodness, how many of y'all have heard that word in here? Salvation, healing. And has many possible meanings, including safe and sound, healed, delivered, made whole, rescued, restored, and saved. This is what Jesus does for us today. And I'm just going to throw this in there, but Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, ladies and gentlemen. What he did then, he does now, and what he'll do tomorrow. That's the thing I like about it. And from 5:30, this is a literal reading of a unique phrase in Greek construction. It could be translated, "The power that keeps going out from him went out from him." There was a glorious power that kept going out from Jesus Christ, drawing others to him, healing those who touched, and in this case, healing a woman who was touched in faith. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever been around somebody that's anointed? I mean, Pastor Chris is anointed. My wife is anointed. Thank you. God is good. You're anointed. 1 John 2:20 says, you have been anointed by the Holy One. You therefore know all things. He's talking to you. When you go into a place, or when you go to a Pastor Chris, you know, we all get along so well together, but I'll be on my high horse once in a while, and I got something I want to set straight. Anybody ever done that? And he'd come in here and sit down and say, what's on your mind, Pastor Doug? And I my tongue don't work, my mouth don't work, nothing works. He's anointed. Doesn't mean that we're not accountable and we don't have boundaries and we don't have confidentiality. But you understand what I'm saying about the anointing. There's anointing in this building tonight just because of the Word of God has been read. Just because of the Word of God has been read. And there's people that's in this room now that, I mean, I don't know everybody's events in their life today, but you've got things going on in your mind. Just think about that woman, what she went through for 12 years. She was ridiculed, put out. She couldn't sleep in the house. She couldn't go near her family. She couldn't do anything. She was defined as unclean. Because she was sick. Religion. Amen. Ostracized her and put her out. Don't think she wasn't being tormented and bullied and being oppressed all the time. But for 12 years she hung in there. And Jesus, she heard Jesus came to town. Jesus of Nazareth. The same one. And she went up behind him and she says, I'm making a move. And she grabbed the hem of his garment. And she was healed. You understand what I'm saying? Saved. Made whole. Redeemed. Set free. Restored. Bought back. The full plan of redemption completed in her life in one move that she made. She went through that crowd. She probably had to crawl on her hands and knees to get through the crowd because everybody in town knew her. And then when she had her chance, she made it. Told you can't trust them women. But yeah, that was Doug. Praise God. But Jesus already knew the answer to his question. He knows all things. He's omnipotent. You right? He knew. He wanted the woman to come forward and acknowledge her healing. Jesus wants you to make a bold declaration of your faith. He wants you to do that. He wanted her. He knew who the lady was. He knew what, you know, he knew it. He was God. He was 100% man. There were crowds around Jesus, the living Word. Many today crowd around him in the written Word. But only those who reach out and touch the Scriptures in faith receive its promises. Just like the sick woman received her healing. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, this woman was tormented, separated from everyone. Again, we see here on full display the devil at work. Constantly trying to destroy another human being, another person created in God's image. Sickness and disease will suck the life out of anyone if we allow ourselves to stay in that place. We have to change our thinking and replace the old with the new. Early in my walk, I read a lot of history books. I liked history. I read John Fox's Book of Martyrs and just ones that you could get locally. And then they had one. A Greek scholar named, a historian named Eusebius, and another one, y'all familiar with Josephus, who was in 70 AD. He went from Israel, and man, he saw the writing on the wall and said, hey, the Romans, he was Benedict Arnold. He turned coat on them. But he was a historian, and he wrote all these letters. I got them in book volumes of them, and I just read about, man, I want to read about what somebody else saw. Well, this guy Eusebius was alive 200 years after the death of Jesus Christ. And why? Well, I was in my walk. I needed to establish something in my life. You know, not that I didn't trust the man of God who was in my life, but I wanted to see and touch. I wanted to read about it. Well, this guy Eusebius was writing. 200 years, he went on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to where this was. And he said, and he writes in his writings, I actually was blessed to stand on the threshold of the house of the woman who had the issue of blood that the Saint Mark wrote about. That's 200 years later. That would be like me and you going to Mount Vernon or to Thomas Jefferson. Why do we go there? Man, I walked in George Washington's house. Big deal. What did George do? You know, did he walk on water? No. No. Well, I'm talking about a living Savior. I'm not downgrading what George Washington did. He was first president, probably the greatest, and a couple of others. But I'm just saying that was the importance of what this man said. 200 years later, so these things actually happened, and I'm reading these things. I'm reading it as it builds my faith. And then I said, okay, I got to a point I haven't opened them up in 15 years because I got past that. I got past that to where it's just this. And about what this is about. This is where our answer is. And so tonight, I'm just going to... I believe y'all got a lot tonight. You received a lot. I know just about everybody in here. And this daughter, Jesus said, I'm going to remind us what the Passion said. Daughter, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. Go with peace in your heart and be free from suffering. If there's somebody in here who needs healing, who needs to be anointed with oil, James tells us to do that. My goodness, we'll do it. You got a family, a household of faith here who will stand with you and believe with you. If you need healing mentally, physically, spiritually, let's say you're in here and you haven't been living for God, but Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you want to live for Him. My goodness, did it. Time is short. Philippians 4:5 says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. The Lord is at hand. Paul wrote that 2,000 years ago. You think he ain't no closer now? I'm telling you, he's coming. He's coming, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going. So if you're in here and you haven't made Jesus Christ,
thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.